This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Come to us in our lifetime is the motto, and so they don't want us to hear anything from towers. If you hear a tower, run to your analyst, and he'll see that nothing will happen to you in your lifetime. And if you... So that actually this bind is when it's really there. And I experienced just enough of it because I know what I have gotten into myself to know that I have in common with everybody present. And at the same time, my own instincts are very strong just to go on being me. I don't want a conversion, you know. And as a matter of fact, I tend to always want to live in some... I really do want to manufacture an antiquated territory and have the fairy tale go on over there around and not come to those awful things. It's true. In general, I found life will just hit you with it when you don't, when you think you aren't moving, you find yourself there.
Carol says it's buying the phone to the goddess directs you to your life. And these intervals where one is, I suppose, in that sense, waiting for that which will declare oneself in a way that is not, say, simply an ego. Even the jokes and all the senses of our presence that are directed by the sort of generalizations such as status, cars, clothes, senses of person that accumulate around, collections of people, which are, again, to my sense, features to that which they are. I don't mean this in an even realistic sense, but I mean it's features to the life. And as we know, again, this thing that Charles got from the Hopi Indians, that what is happening here is distinct from what is happening there. And when I live in a there of my own intentions, I lose all the premise, I lose all the actuality of the here. And you see, even now when I finish Robert's references to this novel of the senses of my own writing, I sit here wondering whether or not I am not pleased by being, quote, historical in this sense. I've lost my way for the moment. In other words,
I'm
hearing it. I wonder if I'm making myself up. Only, you see. And I wonder where my life is. And in writing, I find it most really. I mean, that's my limit. I say it with all consciousness. I've experienced the fullest degree of my own life in writing. Not even in relation to the prophetic thing. It's my sense. I would like to have done it with person. I wonder if I don't live in. Well, that's, I don't want God. I don't want to get into that kind of comment. I mean, I think this is becoming excessive. Yeah, which is again the point.
Thank you.
Well, and there's something else in that, Maximus, and that is actually that magazine is being attacked because it was, this has to do with what and why craft at all. It was sloppy. It was made for eyes that weren't looking. And actually, what is the core of that is what we do and what we are and what we act are for the ones who are looking. That's anyone who's looking, so there's no hierarchy. It's not, you know, for Big Brother up there that sees everything. But it is for the person who's looking, and it is for the person who sees more than you do, so that is the drive. You damn well have to learn that craft as best you can, because the eye that is looking, and that's any human, that's especially, we see this now, because most of the four of us made certain, developed certain things all of 10 years ago, but then that seems such a short time. And within 10 years, I'm just looking at this, have been reading through these, almost any of you younger writers can produce this and make a facsimile of what was gained between 50 and 53. I mean, because if you look at Empty Mirror, I mean, even the phenomenon of Howell, which is like a breakthrough in 55, if you look at Empty Mirror, you see it was making untenable an area in poetry that you just had to have this breakthrough. I mean, there was an apprentice piece that went on that made for this kind of outspeaking. Because my reaction to Empty Mirror, I thought it was miserableism, which is, you know, I'm cold, I don't have a fuck, nobody likes me. And all of a sudden you got, I like everybody, you got this other kind of voices going on. But this happened then. When what am I getting, where was I going? I was saying this gain is made. Oh, I know, eyes. Actually, we're trying to force ourselves to act. If we were at the business, any of us would know, and we're at the business of a stop right now, the eyes that are going to inspect our work really see at any point reading, see more than we do. Yeah, well, what is it? Helen Stein, isn't it? Who's a woman in the town who because she really is looking, and a feeling person, you ask Freeney, how in the world could you hand Helen Stein this thing? I mean, not she isn't going to sneer at you or anything, but how could you ask her to be concerned with this thing you're writing? Now if you thought of the craft of just making a chair, there are ways, most commodities today are made for people who are not looking to be buying the simulacra of something, and actually as writers, we're almost antiquated creatures left because there's a vast, very slick, productive market given commodity writing for people who do not look and don't want to look, who want to read without looking, who want to read without their eyes. But we aren't writing for people without their eyes, and that's part of the problem.
I'm just saying that people outside see more than... Okay.
Yeah.
I sort of get the feeling that I don't think that sometimes writing for people who don't want to look, trying to make them look, trying to force them to look. I don't know.
Yeah, and there, of course, I have... This is where I tend to jump on it with my claws out, because I think the job is right there at the very way the poem's made, and that it's there that you do your service. If you read Brother Antoninus has in his introduction to Hazards of Holiness specifically names Ginsberg as the other great unconscious besides Antoninus, and the rest of us are shriveled away. He says William Carlos Williams is an awful old nasty esthete is what he does by the time he's through, and that's only because William Carlos Williams has the care of making the thing. Because all of a sudden Antoninus has said, we shouldn't have to care because we all love God. But my God, wouldn't you do a decent job for him then? I mean, I love you, honey, and that's why I'm cooking so badly. I mean...
by Tom, and I think that
what is my poetry problem? And he said, well, the rhythm you've got to play in how in my hand. And I was aware that it was part of this rhythm. But I thought what I was saying was really important. But he said, no, actually, you know, and that brought me to where I really was right now, in a physiological expression. But all along, I had thought that what I was saying, the words I was saying, the text on the side, and you talk about Moloch, you talk about that was getting close, but it wasn't at all. Apparently, it was getting close, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Before we get.
No, no, it's published, yeah. Published. Published.
That's right, that's right. That's right,
yeah. Published floppy. Well, I don't think if I gave the impression that thing has to do with I hope I didn't say it was Verini. I said I'm aware that what Charles meant was that there was sloppy writing published in that, and that he had presented, because you compare him to the man who was selling a fish and knows that the fish is good and what it was.
Time is getting a little short, and I want to make an announcement before we... Okay. I see. Warren, you have these open evenings.
In other words,
Yeah, we did. Okay. Yeah. Like camping tonight. Yeah. What do you feel about this, Alan?
Couldn't we leave the thing and use it Monday if it seems by the latter part of the week we have a lot of things today. We might chuck in something tomorrow, and then Friday anyhow is another day.
Yeah. Let's then, for example, cut the morning session on Friday.
I mean, maybe to return to these sessions after.
Yeah, I think that's
the situation would be. You do as much or more. The heat will be hurt, or the eggs will, the chicks will be.
Yeah. In other words, once it becomes formalized, once we know we have to be here, since every morning we have to talk about something at large, we're getting vacant. Pardon? When is Denise due? Saturday, you see, so that takes us to the beginning of next week anyhow. Why don't we meet on Monday in the morning?
Unless you have a different idea.
Yeah, unless you want to go the way.
See, the only reason we are suggesting is that we felt that we were all talking to ourselves and we had exhausted that. Then we wanted to open it up to it. We want to get in with you.
This means he's coming into our common share. And if we can see clearly, as I saw him in Mr. DeLong, he's come in as much as anything else into your own world. Yes, you're right that if you could find a book where Glele was shown, the poem asks you to have seen it. But it also means that Glele conceived of, not a state in Dante, but as something of the some power of the underworld. He was a power of violence and a figure that was wounded almost everywhere and had things driven into him and had excrescences so that he also gave the idea of diseases and pestilences. And then that comes back, then the effort of the poem is to say that this too is wrong.
One of your parallelism there, and you must attempt to get this to you, poetry on tribal parallelism, or was it just the thing, not thing that has the African measures in mind there?
Oh, you mean the one about the century tree or something like that?
Well, I am like.
No, I wasn't thinking that consciously, and African, I don't know whether that is.
Yes, an African tray.
But it's also a treasure of
your Western
body. The Councils of the Wood is a double play upon the actual woods of Africa and the wood of the cross, and meaning that they're one of the trees, and then the trees are finally there. That I was aware of enough there, I suppose. Okay, now we're going to, if anyone have anything to contact now let's see if we had any. Did anybody have any questions for something you would particularly like me to discuss from a point of view of content, of technique? Anything you get? Did you like me to analyze and if not, then I would just go at it and see what comes. I'm going to take a passage that I'm going to have to write on the board. For comparison, I guess I'll take I'll take one where we only have one level of tone leading, and then I'll tell you. I realized that I don't. At least I couldn't really couldn't find a passage in this book where I was doing more than carrying one vowel sound through to give the one line at least. I may find I'm wrong when I start to analyze. That would be nice, too. Two show up. I analyzed it more in class, as I remember, in the beginning of the light flood here with you, in a way, and I don't want to do that passage. That's just... here.
Maybe there weren't enough people there. I mean, anybody...
Well, yeah, and at least anyway, I'm just showing it. No. Well, in this one, I started out with a line that didn't come to me in my head, but within a page I was reading from translation from Pindar. We won't go into the meaning of the line. I didn't understand the meaning, and that's why I took the line. And something appealed to me. And so you'll see that the excellence of this line is not mine. Mr. Bauer is, or Mr. Wake, here he is, one of the poets highly admired. But this really sends me when this sort of thing happens, so that it was the kind of line I would have liked to have written and immediately wanted to start it out as a challenge in the poem. I started at the end of last time pointing out what I need now here, and then I realized when I thought about it that I wasn't yet talking about the tone leading the vowels. Because actually what happened here, and we'll use the word rhyme, now to specifically mean this kind of thing that we call a rhyme, light, bright sort of thing. And we can also use the traditional where it's somewhat like that, but just goes a little bit, is that it called an off rhyme? It means that it looks, that it's like that, but the vowels slightly change.
Yeah.
Actually, I pay attention to vowels, so if I have to use another word, I'll think of it. But this is not what I mean by tone leading, but I see. And what I do then is actually in this poem, it was again in the next line, this is my line now, because this is what followed right away as God's step at the margin of thought. And this pattern is now reappears here. But and things have begun to be I read this line at the light book, and that was my trouble in reading the line, because I read it as if this were bearing to make the strongest stress instead of the now. No syncopation has quite started yet. Except, of course, we know that in the terms of the conventional idea where the rhyme would go is a tiny syncopation that you expect to reduce ever from. I mean, but here there is, because going to begin. Because the relation of the sound's the same in margin and begins, but not the stress the stress here in this word, for instance, is heavier here. I think this is at least a two, and if this is a zero here. And I think there is, we have, I mean, juncture, we'll now say, not a caesura, because it's much more valuable. I won't mark the junctures between words. And the brightness begins, This stress is a one, and this stress is a three, and this stress is a two, for the whole line. You see, And then other stresses, the bright foot here's in the bright foot, the light here's in the bright begin. This is probably a three again, now I'm trying to show you a pattern of stress which they don't deal with when they're making stress in a poem, but I'm trying to get something close to, I'm not a linguist and I don't have a trained ear in this way, but I do have to get somewhat the feel, at least so it gets somewhat conscious, in order to work outside of, let's say, the convention of a metric that's automatic, to get this other metric in my ear, and that's the reason for casting the other thing out. And this one comes all the way down to a four, the bright foot here, to bright off the bright foot here. This is probably goes up, and I'm going to guess that this is probably another two. I don't know, but I'm trying best to show you that it is not as simple as something that you can diagram like this. It actually is a series of, and then when you and when you really locate these, you're going to find me short of what can be done for accurately locating the stress systems, but you must begin to catch on that this also begins to be a significant pattern, you see. And these are really the critical stresses. And this, I put it as I can't decide whether it goes on a verb or not, right? But here's the brightness. No, I thought it went up in pitch. What you've got, if you look in the linguistic analysis at the present time, is that it's so far ahead of poetic analysis of what's happening in a poem. They have just started at the University of California, thanks to Mr. Spicer, who's in the field of linguistics, to make linguistic studies of people reading poems. They've made a large study of one small poem, having five different poets read it. It's a poem by Miss Josephine Miles, and she reads it about five times. Five different poets read it. You heard James Broughton read here last year in the festival. He reads it, for instance, because he has a manneristic voice, and so that they also make a curve of kinds of voices. They have their English faculty, a good section of English faculty read it. They had a section of students that were in their freshman year meaning to study English, and a section of students that were in freshman year meaning to study engineering read it, and that had and then they had an assortment of professors who were outside of the English. And then because they're just quite despiteful, he had some members of the speech department read it. The speech department has a very strange method of reading poetry, which is called the actor's method. I'm reading St. John Paris for the present time, and he has quite a long section against this particular thing in poetry. But linguistically, the interesting thing is, of course, the actor's method becomes an unusual and mannered and artistic way of reading a poem. But they haven't got their results yet about this. They will, of course, when it's on a tape and you read it, then you really can begin to measure these things. And once they measure them, eventually, if people can face up to it, you will have some adequate idea of what it is actually going on in a poem for its now, let's get, you have to deal with some of these things because they're interplaying. You see, both of these are unstressed, that's what I started to say, it might have this, so that it would have something like the same stress, but the contour is different than the contour of a word. But when I talk about contour, I mean the different stress relationship of margin from begins. And this, you can't talk about any syllable in a poem being unstressed. This juncture is an unstressed area. Unstressed means you wouldn't hear it at all. The very vocality of anything is a degree of stress. We have overstresses, but they don't usually appear in poetry. They're like the difference between elevator operator and elevator operator. Ordinarily, but once you know they're there, you can begin to use them. And I do try sometimes to introduce them in poems. That those overstresses, or like he did it, not I. That's an overstress over the one that the sentence that it's around. Quick adulterous. Now, but you see, Fred, Now, this is very careful. Now, for instance, this is not a thought or made-up thing, because it seems to be an imprint of my own rhythm. Tonally, is beginning here, because you see, these are not ordinate. These now are beginning, except the T is still present, and it isn't exactly a... But these things begin then to orchestrate this passage. Not only that, I also pointed out that these then operate. It takes a long time. For instance, if a person is thinking about alliteration, they are usually making a systematic, they're often making a systematic development of the possibilities that are in the book. But I try at times to fight against it. I mean, it's for one thing, one of the first things we're familiar with in poetry, if poetry is introduced to us in second or third grade, is introduced at this level. There always is my poetry a good deal of play within the line of elements that repeat. Like this brightness begins and the I sound. And then this begins to carry on. Now I want to give a later poem. And it's in the opening, of course, because the consciousness has a lot to do with this kind of... You're keyed up, and once I get it, I'm going to take the middle of something where it's a narrowing passage, and then this whole thing would become much more subtle and present at all, because here you really are preparing your own orchestration and your intense idea of the possibilities of what's going to happen. And for instance, the reason these are all possibilities of sound that are being projected, but also you see, you're on the content level without worrying what the content is. You are trying to get step, tread, and foot all going, because you're rapidly sending out impulses yourself to see how much of that's usable for a poem. You want to find how much in these first lines can really be used, and the fact that so much gets used in the sound system is also the same process going on. Now here's one that just before, if I can very quick and easy thinking about what's in this, it's because just before I came up here, for a young poet who seems to be sort of in between groups that are studied, and I'm giving him private lesson. I was trying to show what tone leading was, and had given him an assignment of taking a line of a poem which he'd written, and then trying rapidly to use it in an entirely different way and pay attention to sound instead of thinking at all of what he thought he had to say or what he had to express. Now this poem on Osiris and Seth. A magazine is coming out at present time. I really don't know what quality it's going to be exactly, except that this sort of has a benediction of Charles, and it is called Seth or Seth, and has a center around Gnostic ideas. And so they wrote and asked, would I send a poem? And I immediately was very excited about the possibility such a magazine would be, so I sat right down and wrote off this poem. And largely because I was really waiting for a poem that would a magazine that would allow me to go along this line of thought. But this is the highest. You'll see right away that beginning this poem, I've got lots more of the potential sounds and. First line, going. Now, this nice bright light business, you see, it's so familiar. Somebody I asked last time, I just had that light. what do you do? Do you choose? Do you have to look? Do you have to go through your mind like you did as a child, loom, 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 and try to get up some rhyme that's going to disturb your parents? Or what do you do? But the thing is that when you, you've got another process that's going on in your poetry, and that is discovery, really, the thing that you are talking about. And it furnishes its own vocabulary so that you really are familiar with your rhymes, with motifs, with its colors, I mean, with its palettes. They do form a palette. And when we get to tone meeting and vowel, because this will still be a lot of rhymes that are playing, I will suggest that. This is like using a color scheme when you rhyme, because when you use the particle itself, and that's what Olson says to do in that, he says you must get down to the syllables in the projective verse. Well, I mean, phony means really down to this instead of to that bigger unit. It means that you can orchestrate, but at the same time you have a much wider choice of words. As a matter of fact, your palette expands, and you're no longer capable of having a conscious color scheme. You have to depend on even intuitions of that you can't quite locate for why a color that has not been figured out before will be the thing you want to use. Or if you use it, you have to pay attention to what color it is when another color comes with it, which is even more important. Now I have to go through this whole passage before you'll see how dark this is within the dark. As Harry Petrovic. Now I didn't have to read for the content of this at all. It was my immediate concern, and just the evening before I wrote the poem, Harry Jacobus Painter, who lives in Kingston Beach, as soon as he did that time, was coming home at 2 or 3 in the morning, and the car broke down, and he had to walk over the mountain, and he talked, and he came over in the morning afterwards for coffee, and told us about these darknesses within the dark that were all along the road, and we discussed the fact that these were the trolls, really, that always were in stories of people who lived in the mountain area. I didn't have to look for any of the words. They just now some of these words were my special poetic words, members, more and more, because I was thinking of, if you think of the total poem as an organism, all the words become members of it, and then all through, I think, in the field, I begin to think of it, let's say, as members of mankind or members of Adam, things that belong to some large part or members of the universe, sort of thing, so that's a word I would tend to use all the time. Now I want to show you just, all right, this is tone reading here. Osiris, members of one life, both are, that rise against chaos and the night. Those driving back to the darkness, within the darkness, are you supposed to call it a mountain troll to the underground? Now, there's no accident that disappears. That simply sets up. But the complexity is, of course, that we've also got another system going through right away, that members. Unlike wolf are the things that I go across, the right hand tails. That's just kind of a term it wasn't used. Doesn't it really reappear until it's got something more than them? And that, now for instance, this sort of a pattern, it is a pattern in the beginning, set members of one lifeboat are, but it is not used, and so we really see that this is an accidental possibility later. Now this is developed. We know right away if something's going like this. When you're writing it, you can't miss it. But here's the other thing. Now if you take the O sound, the boat, you find that it is developed all the way through. Harry Jacob. Before it. And troll. and so that there are, I think there are only two, if I remember. There are only two. There were three, for instance, that started moving at the beginning. And that's the I and the S and the O started moving at the beginning. But this, past this point, this is a little tiny development, because it really is an organization. For instance, one that you find frequently in Elliot. Much more jazzed up and made obvious, but it's the thing I've learned that pleases me particularly, that this section of members right close on. But this is my maximum, I think, is two that are actually developed in the passage, and this is only I find. So my impression is at the present time that at the time I was writing the opening of the field, the most I could do was develop a single vowel, a single line through, and maybe another one that would start later, because there are other sounds here that are going to start and go on along the poem. So that it isn't really until recently that I've been able to have two, and they form a kind of there are possibilities, at least. Let's not worry about there is a possibility of something like counterpoint. If you can build up an expectancy of this sound, for instance, recurring, and then supply another sound, for instance, sound one against the other. And then there are aftertones that these things are sounding against anyway. So the person ordinarily listening to poetry who's read a lot of it, here's our O first, except it's the beginning sound, not way over there. It's all of Osiris, and it is syncopate in the one line. What?
If you do this in Mach 9, you're going to do this in the middle.
It's got a lot of the MMs, isn't it? Off, not
familiar. It's got the mind and the mind.
Well,
and the heart and the past and the heart.
Well, yes, but I'm not so sure about. You see, where it is a highly organized activity, it usually primitive and meadow are the important words to me, and there are an alliteration that binds them together in that whole open one. And that reoccurs in the made up and mind and made and so forth, and mind and then goes away. But in the vowel sense, what struck me about this is you see the very word Osiris, which is centered to the poem, and it's not a very long one, provides the two, and the lead provides the two things that are going to be orchestrated through the opening line. And in a poem like this is it'll be happening here, but not as high as it all. This is as high, as far as I know, that my poetry's gone as a sort of thing. And actually, it isn't a matter of concentration, although it makes possible, of course, the concentration of the poem in some areas. Now, I mean, you obviously don't want. What's going to happen if you have this going all the way through a poem? It's not a desirable thing because as a matter of fact, it doesn't. But it keeps the hearer right away, or yourself in writing right away, with the poem being musical. And it takes the place. We're all familiar that if you got to, although it isn't a lot of development, you could get the Swinburnian sort of thing if you've got. But of course, you can't get too thick because it's actually in another kind of texture. And it is not happening over and over again on the same stresses. It doesn't have a regular stress artificial stress pattern in which it happens.
The O is also in O.
What?
The O is in line 4. Yeah. It's also the same O.
Yeah, those documents and these things, you know, you really don't have anything in motion. They increase and they become more available, and then you also have to notice what you're doing, and they take over. You have to notice this is much quiet back. Okay, they override. Actually, here, the meaning, the structures and so forth are all
but do you you may have already have dealt with this. I'm sorry if you have. You can just wipe it out and tell me out. Do you associate certain
sound or progression of the sound with your mood in the song, or do you just feel that the sound is entirely irrelevant to emotional context?
Well, I don't think there is any emotional context except sound in a poem. I don't, for instance, I did discuss this, but I could reiterate it, but I feel when I am to write a poem, it's not a mood. Well, not an emotion, but a body tone, and I have to work with something that is impossible to get to a place where I cannot actually talk and then I know really something has to be dealt with, and it's a dealing with things, and it's not an emotion or a mood. But the sound takes on, and the poem will take on, various moods and emotions and emotional tones, but they're in a poem as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but I mean, it's quite possible that, in other words, that later, reflecting on your sound progression, you might find the sound going and see a particular significant emotion in terms of that.
No, I don't think it's having an emotion to me.
Not that that one. You never feel.
No, I don't. I mean, I think this Rambo, for instance, had an idea of sounds having this. I don't view it sounds on the magic level. We discussed magic last time. The magic that I'm interested in magic in a poem, but I don't think sound does. And yet, if you're not acquainted with it, this is one of the major traditions in poetry has been that sounds do have a magic. But you see, for me, sounds are structured.
Yeah.
What about the close to O sound? Do they affect you like or and two and
this is a related sound. All right, that's true.
And what is mountain? On mountain.
When you're speaking the sound, and when I was imagining, you would get this. You would get this in your octave pattern, but I couldn't analyze it now. It is really a kind of drudgery to get to, at least for me. It's very hard to get my ear, and I'm so scared of getting it wrong. And for all of the fact that I understand the wrong meaning, because you've got to get it the way you get it if you're going to do it, I still feel as if I were, you know, somebody is giving me one of those bloody tests. And I might say, this is the, and somebody can, that was what? Yeah.
I got a question about that, sorry. What about fast and dark and mountain and underground?
The and are not really as closely related as are not close enough to my ear related. They're just similarities greater than the other. It is true that this and the O are very close. They have some, they're quite close. There are two things to do with this. You've got to listen, and that's hard enough for your own voice, but you've also got to feel it inside your mouth where it is. And that I find often difficult. There's a nice little diagram that is in the mimeograph copy, and I'm going to send that to Warren, except that you see the diagram doesn't mean a thing. You're really supposed to make the sound and feel it. But this is also, I think, important in building up your actual working ability, because the play of your mouth, the imaginary play of these sounds in your mouth, also has something to do with the dance that you feel in a passage. And when we read, even though we have not practiced where these sounds in our mouths are, Emerson is the person, by the way, who actually is the only place I found this mentioned. It's in a book of Emerson's that I read years ago. I guess it must be the Seven Types of Ambiguity, because the only one I've read. And he is the one who invented the interesting point of the fact that the dance, there may be a dance in the poem, which is an actual physical dance of the whole vocal apparatus, the place where it takes in talking anyway, the physical places, that it rehearses when it's going through something like this. So you can't locate where the dance is, but your mouth and all the muscles are used to vocalizing, and it does increase the vocalizing. Well, now, of course, in the interest of that conscious poem, and that's what we're dealing with when we're going to want to know something about structure, it is in order then consciously to have these areas of your mouth become conscious instead of giving them permission to be aware in the poem, instead of letting their life only exist if it be unconscious. Some people, of course, if it's conscious, can't even talk, since these are usually automatic. level to move their consciousness. And I find it very difficult to have some consciousness. Yeah.
I still want to keep that.
Yeah.
Dark and dark. You need the
confidence
there.
It could. Yes. Well, and then what happened to the mountain that you were thinking of?
Well,
oh, the burn. Yeah, yes, you're right here. These are both, the could identify, and the burn, yeah, are really related sounds. The ending bond from here looks constant. and there are some that are so closely related, they really do have an immediate effectiveness. Let's look at it as consciousness in there. Osiris and Seth, members of one lifeboat, are that rise against tail. Their essence running through there, but the essence are like the us of the and so forth. They actually are a almost constant thing that's there, and sometimes you have to restrain them. Sometimes you really do have to prevent them from shifting, especially the opposite pearl. But the terminals, especially, I would say, you see, and when I read that line, Osiris and Seth, members of one lifeboat, this has a junction. See, this has a juncture, as if it had been a comma, and this one has a juncture, and this one has the regular word juncture, but we have a peculiar feeling of it. We have to make the juncture between words like boat and somewhat larger. Let's make this a two, because that's the one we use where we show, whereby when a thing's read aloud, you know that it's a phrase, not just the juncture between words. Oh, those who weren't here last time, the juncture between words is the one where you, instead of hearing Osiris and Seth all together, you hear Osiris and Seth, and there are minute junctures we make in order. Because we pass a possibility, like Joyce did in Finnegan, or Joyce did in Ulysses in part, of running words together like the Germans do, and running together. Americans are hard for some people to understand, because things come to such bursts that these junctures are so small that somebody who's not familiar with all of the particles do hear them very much as well. But Americans hear them as individual words, and that's what's important, so we know it's not true there. And there, however, when we come to something like boat and are, we don't have the possibility that the French have of saying boat are. And so we have a slightly larger junction. Now you can see that those two are related. Structure. And so the T and the B and the B are all in a very close area of consonant activity, and that's where you would get, that's where we, now, of course, what's also important here is that while I have noticed this and studied it, I've not noticed what Elliot pointed out, and this would be an area then where my activity is unconscious, and where it isn't likely I'm going to build up a coherent melodic pattern. I mean, it is going to be intuitive or something, but I'm not going to be really able to have words come to me because of these consonants. If I worked with them actually more and more, I think they would serve in an order. Oh, they come to you anyway, but
I'm the MN too. Of course, these consonants will summarize. They're less intrusive anyway than vowel summarizes, aren't they? Maybe that's why the...
Well, you think how immediate to our sense of a poem that any alliteration is. And of course, here, I mean, if it comes in the same sort of structure, an alliteration is quite...
The alliteration is mechanical in terms of the word.
Because here you...
Before this play, it seems to me that in a sense we're overdoing it, that is that a pattern of words is going to give up some of the sound.
Oh, well then let's take another pattern of
sound. I'm wondering is, when you say tone weaving, are you moving ahead with the expectation of the recurrence of the sound?
Oh, good, okay. Now, this structure really is filled with possibilities of leading through, and then there are possibilities later of echoes. And when you're writing, this is the old thing, of course, this concept, because when I'm writing, these sounds are kept. Okay? So that when I come to lifeboat, I feel the structure. I really do then recognize. But what do you suppose? and this is leading through, and this is leading through, and that leads back to these words. Now, the first word in here that seems to be called up as unusual is the word rise. It rides against chaos because it's not exactly the verb that would be called for the boat. It's got a reason. Let's say we can find out why somebody who's seen heroes riding on their horses forward to save the farmer's daughter and so forth would say rise. But the lifeboat, and the lifeboat is in the Egyptian, in the thing this is about, the lifeboat with the devil as the prow and the Christ figure as the dead god that is carrying, or the one that is the rising sun. But the interesting thing in Egypt is that this Set, the enemy, don't call it Osiris, it has all that mixture of things because he's at the very prow of the boat and mixes up with the darkness. He's knowing what he really is. Well, we're going to do this. Okay. This word is not right there. This word, and this word, of course, is in this series: arise, Osiris, lifeboat, rise against chaos, and made out of the rise against chaos, something much closer to the American feeling of the hero adventure, which is you're going to ride out against them bandits, and in the lifeboat, rise against death, and then really came home to that mountain and still another thing. Now, what I always find fascinating about this is that I did. Now, let's ask you here then, those darknesses within the dark, this is one thought, and it all belongs to one context, but it did have another little context that came in hidden because it was possible as the word rise was called up out of this, out of the melodic passage's eye. When I came down here, how did I remember or put into its place that Harry Jacobus's of seeing the trolls on the mountain, the darknesses within the dark? When I wrote those darknesses within the dark, I was already thinking of that, but it was prepared by the fact that Harry Jacobus would see the last of the chaos boat and so forth. Sound structure. Now, this is not the same as sounds having meaning or some particular thing, but along all the possibilities that you have within a particular area of sound, you do sometimes have little turns that call up to your mind. So it acts in a way to fish in the thing called the unconscious and call into being the thing that belongs to an order of sound. And most of these sounds I've used so many times in poems. Sometimes I think, Robert Duncan usually could leave night and light alone, except they are fundamental to the universe for me. So what am I going to do, And if somebody said, there is cynics in San Francisco, and they have a way at times to say, well, if you can't get out of a poem any other way, you always could put stance into it. So there is the fact that you are in a risky business of what are you going to do. You really don't quite know. And my strongest poems, the ones I feel strongest, are the ones who use my most, I would think, tired and overdone material. I try every year on the first of the year to resolve that I'll not really introduce cross eyes in again. But every time it comes to a real crisis, there I go, winding up the form. But that's because it's a form to be done. Yes.
You made a notation of your rule about inversion of the relation by antithesis in the rise, the next word, drive, driving back.
Mm-hmm.
The rise, the same letters and the speed put around the beginning.
What did you do about antithesis?
Well, many of them include the world, but there's a relation of sound and can be done by inversion.
Oh, yeah. I see. I thought maybe this is a rule someplace. I hadn't heard. No, it's one of those possibilities, but the sort of thing that makes the O come here and the second position there, and here, first here, and that is sort of an arise and a drive, because all of D is a little different. its activity. And they still are things that you feel. You do feel it. I haven't even thought of that. That's quite true that these tend to play around.
Well, this may not be true, but is this a tendency of yours, as in the second line of your first quote there, something that you haven't marked, but God and thought have the same sound, do they not? God and thought,
I suppose. Oh, you mean there, thought.
Now, this is what I want to get at.
Oh no, God, and all. They're near, but they really do.
The DC, which I'm interested in, that one is God thought. Mm-hmm. On D to Q. And I noticed at the last one, trolls of the underground, you go from P to D and contain those.
I want to point out one thing about D and T. These are still similar because they begin a syllable, but God's step has no place in which to explode and is really stopped instead of being exploded by the S, and this becomes significantly different when it stops. It makes a great deal of difference with the D's and T when the terminals and whether they're exploded or not. Or whether they are, now what is the technical term in linguistics for this? You see, there's two sides to a consonant, like D and T, and O. The T is voiced, and so if it comes in a terminal position, the God wouldn't be any different in a terminal position, you see, but if the T is in a terminal position, it's significantly different from the D. Because it's exploded, if it's exploded.
Well, I'm still driving in something. I haven't gotten through it. Where I see it most distinctly is there is a kind of juncture between adulterous and tread, that is, adulterous tread.
Oh, yes, this is a juncture, this thing.
Well, now what I'm getting at is this, tread at the heart. That contains the T at the heart.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah, yeah, now that certainly is what they're playing that way.
But I don't think I'm getting my point across. It seems to me that you have some kind of a principle there of containing phrases, as it were, with a similar opening and closing, like trolls and underground, and tread's heart.
Yeah.
Is there any containing principle there, or is it just
there's a poem in this, the one about go where I did actually consciously use this sort of thing for a way of developing a line and a quatrain in certain sections there in order to give us a certain little, and that is on page 48 of this. When you come to I'm not sure. I think the first place where the possibility showed up for me as I was going, it's the question. Now, the principle of form in the question is that I used the quatrain, and since the quatrain is a thoroughly expected form, I could do anything, you know. A line of a quatrain could be 2 miles long. You immediately know it was a 2 mile long line of a quatrain because we all take the quatrain for granted. So you see all the departures. In other words, this is a form written in a conventional form. And what the convention really permits me to do then is to have everything that I do in the poem be related to the conventional and be a departure. Well, now with the line in Cusco, llamas of solid gold in the Inti Pampa, the llama pampa suddenly really gave me the idea of what I do in the line that follows. It becomes two further than that, rounded or a fort knock compounded. Now, while that was changed in the field to rounded or impounded at Fort Knox, the development on from that was changed. It was kept, and when you come to the next quatrain as third line, you have to needs man's common nature needs. Now, this is the thing I found pleasing in Eliot. It was part of Eliot's ragtime sort of rhythm in some things, and he had something like this. Now, I don't really remember exactly where it is, but he uses full rhymes in a very in a way that shows that they're sort of common stuff of poetry, and you have like in Coleridge a feeling that a feeling of bluntness. At least that's the feeling I have in a line like "Me, Man, Common Nature Be." But it was it advanced in the conscious. I think that probably there was this pattern in the word that right there became a usable and conscious element of composition.
Is it somewhere Hardy's got a line? Draws rain and sings to the swing of the tide. It draws, it ends up in the reed, it composed within the reed.
I wouldn't kind of recognize this sort of thing, and it might be operating. Well, at least let's make the observation that some of these things then are elements of actual composition. Those are the ones that I spoke of as my using, and others show up. And when I begin to recognize them, for instance, there were things you found, when I begin to recognize them myself, when I'm doing them, they begin, then my compositional possibilities increase. You see, if I